Open the Word of God, please, to the book of John, chapter 21. John chapter 21. At my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. Miss Joy and I are glad. Stand up, baby. We've been married 64 years. I've had to put up with a lot. But she sure has been a precious companion to help me in the ministry. And I praise the Lord for that. I preached my first revival when I was 14. Preach across the street from the church, Second Baptist Church in Fort Payne, Alabama. And he drove over to the house and he said, "Son," and said, "had a letter from some ladies 15 miles down below where we live there in Fort Payne to Collinsville," and said, "there's 8 women holding the church together. And if we don't have a revival, we're going to have to shut it down." And said, "You preach one night and I'll preach the next night." Well, a 14-year-old boy don't know much, but we had so many people saved that we went 2 weeks. And all my life, somebody said, "Don't you get tired not serving God?" I don't get tired. Many churches are closing on Sunday nights because we have Sunday morning Christianettes who like to go out and smoke a cigarette. But they're closing. Indifference is sweeping the country. Many churches are no longer having revivals. And because people won't come, church down below where we live, this dear person. He tried to get my pocketbook. Yeah. Hey, somebody get me a little glass of water, would you please? And I appreciate it. And but anyway, God's been good, and I have no complaints. And at 88 years old, my wife and I go to the doctor twice a year, and that way we get a physical. And Dr. Lawrence, and he's a great Christian man too. And he said to my wife last year, said, "Joy," said, "you check out physically like a 60-year-old woman." And said, "Your husband checks out like a 62-year-old man." So that's actually how old I am. And but God has been good. The Sunday school teacher told the kids, said, "Come back next Sunday, and I want you to illustrate a scripture." So the next Sunday, said, "Anybody have a scripture?" And one raised a hand and said, "I do." And it said, "You're the light of the world." And she said, "That's good." Another one got up and had a salt shaker. Said, "You're the salt of the earth." A little boy got up, had a banny hen egg, one of those little ones, goes across the room and squashes it on the top of that boy's head. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." John chapter 21, and I'll not speak long tonight or today, or any time, about 30, 35 minutes, and we'll be out of here at 3 o'clock. Pardon me. Verse number 12, we'll begin there. Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when he had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto them, "Feed my sheep." And he said unto him the third time, well, how many times did Peter deny the Lord? The Bible said three. Simon, the son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. And Jesus said, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said to him, and feed my sheep. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your wonderful fellowship and singing and fellowship here today. Thank you for these folks that have come to assemble to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I ask for a few moments, Holy Spirit, that you may be give me liberty and freedom and thought and desire right now as I preach your holy word. In Jesus' name, I pray. I want to preach this morning on Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Three times, thank you, sir. Three times Jesus asked the question, Simon, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he knows all things. God knows all things. So I want to give you several things right quickly. Number one, Jesus knows if you're really saved. Jesus knows if you're really saved. I believe a lot of church members have never been saved across the country. I'm talking about pastoring. You see people, they say they're saved, but they might show up Sunday morning if they don't have some place to go that Sunday, and you don't see them back Sunday nights or Wednesday nights or another time. And I wonder, all I know is I got saved and I wanted to go to church. I got saved, born again, and I've enjoyed. I have missed three Sundays in the 64 years of being in the house of God. Even when I pastored, I never left on a Sunday, and I'd had my vacation. I'd leave at church Sunday night, and so I could be in the house of God. The three times I missed, twice it snowed so deep, and one time I had walking pneumonia. But I'm just talking about how wonderful it is to be in the house of God. Now, you can fool the preacher. You can fool your neighbors, but you can't fool God if you do not know. I believe when a person is born again, that we're going to be a witness for our Lord Jesus. Listen, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who've never had a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, I do not want you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you have ever won a soul to Jesus Christ after you got saved. Did you know that Dr. Adrian Rogers said a few years ago that 97% of the professing Christians never wins a soul to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? 97% never wins a soul to Christ. And I'm going to ask you tonight, just for a moment, how many of you know somebody's lost? How many of you know somebody's dropped out of church? And this is our business, not only to come. You're not serving God today. You come to worship God, and you leave the house of God to follow what Jesus said, to carry him out and to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean this bragging. I don't mean this when I say this, but I've witnessed a lot. And I witnessed a lot of black people. I mean, man, I was down in North Carolina, down there, right up above Chattanooga and into Tennessee. But anyway, I was going to the Cracker Barrel with a preacher, and this black lady carried me over there, lead me over there, and I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? And she stopped and looked at me. She said, I'm in the fog, F-O-G, full of God. So get in the fog, hallelujah. Jesus Christ here, and it doesn't make any difference. You can feel. You say, well, preacher, how can I know that I'm saved? You can know you're saved by the word of God, by doing what God's word said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can know that you're saved because of the precious word of God. And then you'll know you're saved by the Holy Spirit coming into your life. Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. The moment you got saved, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit of God came into your life. But are you a spirit-filled Christian? There's a difference in the Holy Spirit living in you, and are you filled with the Spirit of God? Are you literally, I'm talking about, listen, in my early ministry as an assistant pastor in two churches, one in Alabama, one in Oklahoma. My pastor in Alabama, he's always saying to me, we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Well, we'd go up on a little hill up there and walk down a kind of a grade, and then there was a rock out there, and we'd go up there and pray. The men of our church got to going up there Sunday afternoon. If nobody got saved that morning, they'd go up there and pray that afternoon and then go out knocking on doors. But I just got hungry. And my wife at that time, we hadn't been married long. We got married and early in the spring, March, and then we went into full-time ministry. And so we bought furniture, and she's getting helping us do that. And so I'd get up every morning, fix breakfast, keep the house and everything. And one Monday morning, after I got her off, I went up to that place on the side of that hill. And I got down there about 10 o'clock, I guess. And I prayed, and I wept, and I cried. Somewhere after 1 o'clock, between 1:30 and 2, all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord, I mean, man, all of a sudden, I felt God that I'd never felt Him. And I was standing there weeping and crying, and something in my heart laid a family on my mind while I'm there. And they were lost. And I ran to the car, went down to 4th Avenue in Tallahassee, Alabama, knocked on the door, and when I got to the door, and when the man got to the door, he started crying. I said, what is it? What's wrong? Last name was Clay. He said, we've been praying all morning, Lord, send somebody by here to tell us how to get saved. His wife got saved, and his two boys got saved, and we shouted a while, and I instructed them. And I started to leave, and well, a lady in our church, her husband walked off and left, and she's living with her mother. So she came to my mind. I went up there and knocked on her door. Her mother came to the door and said, go in there and talk to my daughter. I said, what is it? She said, I don't know. She's been walking the floor all morning. I walked in there, and I said, ma'am, can I help you? And she looked at me and started crying. She said, preacher, I was coming to church yesterday to get saved, but company came in. I said, why do you think God sent me here? And I led her to Jesus. What I'm trying to say, if you're really led by the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you something else. You ask the Holy Ghost where you need to be tonight in church. You ask God where you need to be. You ask God where you need to be in revival. I tell you one thing for sure. If you're a spirit-led Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, will tell you exactly what you ought to do. Win somebody to Christ. Witness to everybody you can. You can know by the word of God, and your life is changed. I was a priest on television about 12 years when I was in Chattanooga. Every Sunday morning. So one month, I preached on a no-soul salvation for a whole month. I was there during that time, four times. And one Sunday afternoon, I got a telephone call. And this lady said, are you Brother Burgess? I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I've heard your sermons. And said, I'm a Sunday school teacher. And she said, I know now, after hearing those sermons, I'm not saved. And I said, well, ma'am, go in there and tell your husband. She said, I don't want him to know. I said, yes, you do. I said, you go in there and tell your husband what you told me. I said, let me have a word of prayer with you. And Lord did. And not too long after then, phone rang again. I said, hello. She said, it's me, preacher. I said, did you tell your husband? She said, yeah. He said, well, honey, let's get down and you get saved. And said, I just called to tell you, Sunday school teacher, I got saved. Hallelujah to God. Monday, I got a telephone call. And this little, I said, hello. She said, it's me again, preacher. I said, well, how'd you go to church yesterday? She said, last night. She said, yes, I did. And said, I sing in the choir too. And she said, I got up there and I said, told what happened to me. And are you listening? Seven other women had known for a while that there was something missing in their life, and they got born again. And I got another telephone call right after them. A lady by the Ruby Gamble passed away, one of the greatest Christian ladies I ever met in my life, Ruby Gamble. And Ruby passed away. And a lady attended the funeral of Ruby Gamble. It was an awesome, I mean, man, it was just a great meeting. And we had people to get right with God and get saved at that service. But anyway, this lady said, this you, Brother Burst? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I was at Ruby Gamble's funeral. Said she was one of my dear friends. And I said, yeah, what a wonderful woman. And she said, I played the organ at the Methodist church. And she said, after that service, I know I'm not saved, and I want to get saved. And I had the privilege of telling her how to become a child of God. I don't care. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that everything's right with God? Do you know? Do you have a greater thrill now than when you first got saved? Do you have a desire? Do you even have a desire to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ? Make your prayer list. Knock on the door. Call people. Have a dear lady over in North Carolina, and she's at every service. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Had been for a year, never had. And she'd always go out. She'd always go out and witness to people and got where she could not go and to the house of God, got crippled down. And so the pastor, a preacher, knew her, went over to see her. And what happened? And she said, he talked to her and prayed with her. And he said, preacher, can I tell you something before you leave? He said, sure, go ahead. She said, well, since I haven't been able to go to church, she said, I wrote down 15 names of people that was lost and said yesterday the 15th got saved. That's what it's about. That's what it, hey, are you really, really saved by the marvelous grace of God? Number two, is your life on the altar? Is your life literally on the altar for Christ? Can you say to yourself and to the Lord, I've laid it, Lord, you're going to be first in my life. Well, I want you to have all. I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but God sure has been good to me. I want him to have, wasn't for God, you wouldn't have what you got. Wasn't for him, you'd have a thing. The devil would rob you of everything you got. But you can know if your life is on the altar. He knows. The Lord knows about your secret sins. He knows about your gossip. He holds a. Do you know, I find a lot of Christians down through the years, they had bitterness towards somebody. I mean, literally bitterness towards. Hey, you can have bitterness in your life and be right with God. If you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. But they did me wrong. Big deal. You know what I learned to do? Go hug their neck and tell them I love them. What I'm trying to say, he knows about your gossip. I like that myself. He knows if you're faithful. He knows about it. He knows if you're really faithful. He knows if you're really dedicated to God. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is all. Hey, may I show you something else right quickly before I move to another point? I was over in Crossroads Baptist Church several years ago. One Sunday, one night during the revival, I mean, God went in that place. Man, they started coming to the altar during the song service, and they'd fill up the altar. And I sit on the end here right here, and another fellow was sitting beside of me. And when they got through, another group came down and prayed. I mean, they just kept praying and praying. And there was a couple, young couple, had knelt right there on the front. And when this group got up, they were there. That group got up, they were there. And I promise you, they were there 15 minutes. And then all of a sudden, they just got up and they had been crying and hugged each other's neck. I said, they stayed till they got what they wanted. Hey, am I getting through to y'all? Are you listening? Hey, is your life on the altar for the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Not only that, Jesus knows if you really come to worship. He really knows if you really come. I like that song, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. And all is vain unless the Holy One come down." Oh, we can go to church, but did you come to worship God? Always leave, at least with something that helped you to be a more dedicated and separated child of God. He knows, hallelujah, all about you. He knows why you come. And if you remember, they said, let's go yonder and worship. You come to the house of God not to see what somebody's wearing or what you like to sing it or what you come to worship God. And that's what it's all about. Not only that, he knows how much, thirdly, he knows, or fourthly, he knows how much you can bear. The Lord will not let more come to you. Hey, then you're able to care. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will not let you, to be tempted above that you're able to bear. But with every temptation, he'll make a way for you. He knows just exactly how much. I've heard people say, oh, I can't bear anymore. God knows exactly how much I can bear. God knows exactly how, but he'll never overload you. No, not ever. He never let that permit it to overload you. He knows your frame. Let me show you something. A truck. I mean, there's just so much a truck can hold. There's just so much a car can hold. And if you did, you would do a lot of damage and everything else. But he knows exactly how much you can bear. He knows your frame. Let me put it this way. You can't put a 10 load on a half ton truck. You can't do that on a half ton truck. But he knows how much he knows how much you can bear. He knows how much it is. He wants to put that. And so the Lord knows how much you can bear. I've heard him say, I can't bear it. He knows how much you can bear. And he'll never overload you. Not ever. The Lord's time in my dear wife's life was when our oldest son, Tom, went to be with the Lord. But at the same time, at the service is more like a revival. See, I walked over to the casket and I saw my son lying there. But I thought, well, he's not here. He's there. His body's here, but he's gone. I had a perfect peace. I mean, I almost shouted at that funeral. Because, thank God, we will meet again. Hallelujah. He knows exactly how much you can bear. And then, next of all, Jesus knows every need you have. He knows, everything. And that you, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply every need. God will supply. Hey, baby, has God supplied all of our needs? All these years, can you vouch for that for me? Hey, we live by faith. I've never asked you for a dime. I've never asked anybody else for a dime. There's time I wish I had. My first revival. I went to help this young couple. They were married. Church was not taking care of them. And when I got over there, his wife had just gotten out of a hospital with a baby. Their car was broken down, and they was going through a time. And I kind of scolded the pastor in a nice way, the church. So my first check, I'd have felt impressed to do that. I told Joe, I said, take out our tithe and everything. And what little we spent to come up here, gas was real cheap then. And so I said, I gave it to him. So I didn't have anything. I mean, I lived by faith. Well, I went to the next revival meeting. I was there and was helping them concerning their Sunday school, how you can really build a church through your Sunday school and get people in. And I thought, wow. What are we going to do? Went to the next meeting. Wednesday night. I mean, man, still didn't take an offering. Saturday night, they had a service. Still had. Sunday morning, still hadn't taken an offering for me. I wasn't worried about it. At the end of the service, that pastor got up. And he said, we will not give singers more than we do a preacher. You know what my offering was? $3,000. I called Joy and she shouted. God said, I'll supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I was in a meeting. And a lady ran. I'm talking about she came down there, ran, and came down to the front. I'm a preacher, and the offering plates were still there. And she just emptied out what she had in it. She said, Lord, I owe you some more, but here's... You just mention money, and people clam up. Jesus knows exactly how much you can bear. Next of all, Jesus knows what tomorrow holds. He already knows what's out there for you and me tomorrow. I don't, and you don't, but he does. He knows things that are coming. Joshua 3:5 says, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. He said, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders for you. Let me give you the last. He knows the time of your death. I've had people say, I don't go around talking about dying. I don't. But he knows. Today, there will be people that got up will be in eternity tonight. I forgot how many thousands of people they say die every day around the world. What if this is your last day? What if this is the last time that you got to go to church? What would you do? Would you want to face the Lord empty-handed, not one soul? The Bible said that some would be ashamed before the Lord when he comes. Well, we talk about, oh, I want to see him. But the Bible said there'll be some ashamed to stand before him when he comes. I was in a meeting several years ago. And a pastor, and this young man was a quarterback in high school. And the family were poor, and they were good people. They were saved, and they said, and Jimmy got a ticket. Speeding ticket. And So the parents couldn't get off. And she said, "Preacher, would you go?" I said, "Sure, I'd be glad to." I said, "Jimmy," got in the car and started over. I said, I'll go in there and see that judge. I think I could talk to him and explain the situation, this, that, and the other. And I got permission to go in. And he said to me, the door was still open, and he said, "Preacher, see my desk up there?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You see that stack of papers?" I said, "Yes." He says, "That's my cases. Once they're there, I can't help you here, but I'll help this boy when he comes up here." And I sat back there and watched people come before the judge. Some was trembling and, you know, this, that, and other. And there was a lady come. There was a lady. And I'd say between 35 and 40 years of age. And she was standing there. She, I mean, man, she's shaking. He said, "Ma'am, how fast were you going?" She said, 35 or 40. And I can see that judge kind of chuckle. He said, "Ma'am, according to this here, you went into the median about 80 yards and went across the highway and knocked some posts down." He said, "I kindly believe that you were going faster than that." And I walked out of that place, Brother Billy, and I said, "Lord, when I come before you, I sure would like to have a good record and present it to you. What kind of a record are you leaving? Not one have you helped to Christ. Sure, you can do missions and other things, but I'm talking about personally. How many of you got lost people? How many of you got friends that are lost and people out of church? God's left us here. He wants to use us. What if everybody here today got one person coming to church? Or just one. Each one of you. What if you know somebody? And I'm going to ask you in a few minutes. We're going to stand. We're going to have an invitation. If you're here lost, let Christ save you. If you're here and you're not where you need to be, you don't have that burden, you need to come. Let's stand with our heads bowed. And while your heads are bowed, you're coming. Be much in prayer. How many, is anybody here this morning say, "Preacher, I'm not saved"? Would you lift your hand anywhere? Anybody here? This is the most important part of the service. Time when you make decisions. Hear the word of God, then you make a decision what you're going to do. You got to make a decision. If you got somebody lost, somebody away from God, I'm going to ask you to come and stand down here at the front for that individual. If you care enough, if you care enough for that person, if you know that, how many of you know somebody lost or away from God? Raise your hand. Lift it up, good gracious. Come down here and pray for that individual. You might be the only one. You might be the only one. Years ago, I was in Alabama, and the man who owned the radio station I was on was not a Christian. And I mentioned, and on a Sunday morning, God spoke to my heart to go see him. Well, I'd go down to pay my radio bill once a month. And I said, "Well, I'll go down there Monday and pay my radio bill." And I put it off. But on that Friday, I got a phone call. And this lady said, "Are you Brother Burgess?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "So-and-so died." I said, "No, that's his brother." I said, "No, that's him." Said, "They put him in the hospital and is going to let him go home today, but he died." And at that funeral service, I waited till the family went around and visitors. And then I went over and looked down at that fella. And I hope his blood will not be on my hands, because I failed. I don't know if he'd have been saved. I don't know. Preachers had, cheated him. He was on the radio, wouldn't pay the radio bills, and cheated him. But get a burden. Be faithful. Be committed. In these last days, I believe so much of coming to the Lord, he could come today. I don't know, and you don't know. But don't let somebody die lost, or somebody have to do that. Let's remain here while we're going to pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, in Jesus' holy, precious name, it's all the hands of these dear people standing here in the behalf of these people. Give us a brokenness. Give us a holy desire to win them. And to those that have fallen and don't go anymore, help us not to criticize them. Go and tell them Jesus loves them. I love you. Bless this precious pastor. Thank you for the work that you worked through him through all these years. But Lord, we're running out of time, and we need to do our best for you. Thank you again for what you're going to do, in Jesus' name.